through scripture by scripture. And today we are going to continue where we stopped last time. Last time we went through Ephesians chapter 2 verse 8. And I kind of went through an overview of Ephesians. And today we are going to continue in that. And as Ephesians chapter 2 verse 8 says that, which Ephesians 2 8 says, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourself, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast." So today what I'm going to do is I'm going to show you the significance of this scripture. And conversion is a work of God. By the power of God, we are delivered from the wrath of God. So we are saved by grace alone. The grace context here is God's unmerited favor in salvation. That means God's undeserved favor. That means it's from the superior to the inferior. That means it's God's divine grace to man. God is superior, inferior is man. Now, it is different than justice and mercy. Now, what is justice? Justice is getting what we deserve. And mercy is not getting what we deserve. And grace is getting what we do not deserve. Salvation by grace is which we do not deserve. Grace is God's love and kindness that is manifested in Christ Jesus. We receive that great blessing from Jesus through the work of Christ Jesus and the redemption, the redemption that came through Jesus Christ. Now, grace rules out all human work and all human merit. Grace is God given because it is given because He who He is, and not because who we are. So it's very clear that by grace we have been saved. Now, it is once we understand the word grace and we know there are no works involved in grace, and a lot of Christians believe that, the problem comes in here when it says, "For by grace you are saved through faith." It is very important to understand the word faith has a very broad meaning in Scripture. But what we are going to do is we have to stick to this Scripture and to this our subject when the Scripture says that by grace you have been saved through faith. Many believe that faith is a feeling. You know, I feel that I'm saved. And there are a lot of people who doesn't even believe in the deity of Christ, who doesn't believe in the resurrection of Christ, who doesn't believe in the very important doctrines in the Bible. But still, they say that they have a gut feeling, they say they are Christians because they have a gut feeling that they are saved. And a lot of people say the faith is kind of type of a feeling that I go through. I don't know whether you remember, there was a man who was very popular in the Christian circle. His name was Norman Vincent Peale. He wrote a best-selling book. The name of the book was The Power of Positive Thinking. That means, according to him, there's a spiritual power that is in man. Which he's really saying is there's a self-confidence in man. Although he took many scriptures out of context, his teachings have been embraced by many churches. And if you see the history, this is really Pelagianism being resurrected and the teachings of Charles Finney. And so that's the kind of concept that people have as a positive way of thinking, you know, positive thinking, positive way of looking at stuff. And there's a faith that is in you, and you will feel that faith. Now, although there are many Christians who believe in grace, and they say that we are saved by grace alone, then they make of faith a work. As they see in the scripture, as you see in the scripture, by grace you are saved through faith. As I said, this is the problem a lot of evangelical churches run into. We are speaking of a saving faith. Is this faith comes from man or from God? That is the question that you need to answer. Is this faith comes from man or from God? By grace you have been saved through faith. Now, let us see in context the book of Ephesians we have studied before. Remember, we were dead spiritually, we were dead towards God, but we were alive in sin. It was God who made us spiritually alive. So regeneration or the new birth comes from God. There's nothing that we did to save ourselves when we was dead spiritually. We saw that in Ephesians chapter 2, 1. And you he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins. And Ephesians chapter 2, verse 5 says, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive with Christ. So, naturally, spiritually dead, do not have faith. And if you turn with me to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 3, 2 Thessalonians 3, Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 2 says, and that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men, for not all have faith. So everybody do not have faith. And also 1 Corinthians chapter 2 verse 14 says, 1 Corinthians 2:14, natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. The reason why the natural man cannot understand the things of God is because he is spiritually dead. Now, Ephesians 2:8 does not end when it says, by grace you are saved through faith. If you read it, it says here, but continues with the word and. By grace you are saved through faith, and that is not of yourself, it is the gift of God. Now, faith, I want to emphasize this, that faith doesn't come from within us. Faith is a gift of God. That means faith is not a work. This faith comes from God. We are saved by grace through faith, and it is not by ourselves. So that means there is no room left for us to boast, saying that it is by faith that I became a Christian. Because verse 9 says, not of works, lest any man should boast. So it's very clear here. So grace is not a work, and saving faith is not a work. Romans chapter 11 verse 6 is very clear. Romans 11 6, as we take scriptures in context along with this passage, Romans 11 6, Apostle Paul said, and if by grace, then it is no longer of works. Otherwise, grace is no longer grace. But if it is works, it is no longer grace. Otherwise, works is no longer work. So either it is by works or by grace. If it is grace, then there is no works. Simple as that. Now, faith is... Now, what is faith here? What does it mean by grace you have been saved through faith? Faith is the instrument or the channel which the grace of God comes to us. Faith is the means and the instrument or the channel that the Word of God comes to us. This faith is not produced by man's will or by man's power. It is the free gift of God. Robert Murray McShane, who lived in 1800s, said the following: when a man chooses an apple of a tree, he generally chooses the ripest, the one that promises best. It is not so with God in choosing the soul he saves. He does not choose those that have sinned least, those that are most willing to be saved. No, he often chooses the vilest of men, to the praise of the glory of his grace. Then he goes on, this is proved by the instances given in the Bible of brands plucked out of the burning, that God did not choose Manasseh, who caused his children to pass through the fire, set a carved image in the house of God, and filled Jerusalem with the blood of the holy men, while many of his deluded people who had sinned far less perished. 2 Chronicles 30:33. Why did God save Zacchaeus, the swindler, the chief of the publicans? Why did God, also I can add into that and say, why did God choose Paul? Why did Jesus tell the Pharisees, the publicans, and the harlots that they will go into the kingdom of God before you? Why did Jesus enter into the pearly gates of paradise with a poor thief who had never done anything but sin up to the last hour? Why did he leave the other thief, who was no worse than his fellow, hell deserving, to sink into perdition with an arm's length of an almighty Savior? All these things happen unto them for examples to show us that God saves according to the good pleasure of his will, not of our goodness, but to show his own free, adorable, free grace. Now, there's an interesting story that I'm going to say. Have you ever heard of two pastors preaching from the same pulpit for the same sermon? It happened. It happened in an accidental way. It's an interesting story. When Spurgeon was young in his ministry, he was invited to preach in a country town. Spurgeon was very punctual when it came to his appointments. But because of railway delays, he took the train, and the train, there was a breakdown of the train, he reached the place of worship late. And when he came late, the worship was already in progress. When he neared the chapel, he saw someone from the pulpit preaching already. And to his amazement, when he looked, it was his grandfather who was preaching. But when he saw his grandson coming, the grandfather said, "Here comes my grandson. He may preach the gospel better than I can." He insisted that his grandson, Charles, should take the sermon. But young Spurgeon refused and said, "You can preach better than I can, Grandpa." But his grandfather insisted that young Spurgeon to preach where he left the sermon. Now, where did he leave the sermon? He told Spurgeon, "I was preaching on 'By grace you are saved.' I have shown the source and the fountainhead of salvation. Now I am showing the channel of it. Through faith you are saved. Now you can go from here." And goes on to tell this story, that he was so much at home with these glorious truths. He did not feel any difficulty in taking where his grandfather stopped, but he was able to continue the thread of his message by joining by his thread as it continued without breaking the thread. How wonderful that was. Now nobody will be saved. Nobody is going to be saved if God allowed us to be saved according to our free will. If Lord allowed us that salvation is according to our free will, I don't think anybody would be saved. Saying that my decision to come to Christ because the natural man in his fallen condition is unwilling to come to Christ. Just like Adam, when he sinned against God, he was not willing to come to God, but to run away and hide from the presence of God. But how many times you hear the evangelist or the pastor telling the people, it is up to you to make the decision for Christ now. That means you need to accept Christ, and they make the faith a work and tell people to raise their hands, come forward, repeat this prayer. It is something that you have to do to be saved. It is a work that you got to do to be saved. Now there's nothing in the New Testament on this kind of teaching, neither the apostles never practiced it in the New Testament. This is a strange new teaching. It is not historical, biblical Christianity. Let me give you an illustration. Let's think about a hungry lion. And you make two different plates for the lion. One, you make a beautiful salad with a ranch dressing on top of it. And the lion is very hungry. You make a beautiful green salad with ranch dressing on top of it. And then another plate with just raw meat. Which one will the lion choose? He will go for the raw meat, not for that beautiful green salad with ranch dressing on it. Now, why is it? Because it's his nature. It is the same with the fallen man. The fallen man loves darkness and the pleasures of sin rather than God or the Bible. Let's say you go to the streets and offer a drunkard a bottle of whiskey or the Bible. What will he choose? He will take gladly the bottle of whiskey, not the Bible. Because a fallen, or go to the street and tell somebody, hey, there's a restaurant here, and I will take you to this restaurant, and you can eat anything you want to. Or, here's the Bible, select which one you like. Of course, a fallen man will like the delicious meal and prefer that than the Word of God. The reason is the fallen man is controlled by his appetites, by his emotions, by his feelings, by his desires, not by the Spirit of God, because he is fallen, he is dead, unless God gives him a new nature. Then the man will follow the will of God and not his ways. Because the Bible is very clear, as we have studied before, the carnal mind is enmity with God. Romans 8:7. The fallen man, fallen nature of the man, the unbeliever, does not want to come to Jesus on his own will. Psalm chapter 10, verse 4 says, the wicked, through the pride of his countenance, will not seek after God. The wicked will not seek after God. Psalm 10:4. God is not in all his thoughts. So Psalm 10:4 says the wicked, absolutely, God is not in their thoughts. They are not meditating in God. Absolutely not. John chapter 5, verse 40, Jesus said, John 5:40, you will not come to me that you might have life. You will not come to me that you will have life. They cannot come. They will not come. Now, let me give you another good illustration in the Bible. If you turn with me to Luke chapter 8, verse Luke chapter 8. Here, there was a demon-possessed man. In verse 30, Jesus asked him, saying, what is your name? And he said, Legion, because he had many demons had entered him. And they begged him that he would not command them to go out into the abyss. Now a herd of many swine has feeding there on the mountains, so they begged him that he would permit them to enter them, and he permitted them. Then the demons went out of the man and entered the swine, and the herd ran violently down the steep place, and the lake drowned. When those who fed them saw what happened, they fled and told it in the city and in the country. They saw, wow, a miracle happened. This man who was demon-possessed, now he's been set free. It's a miracle. Verse 35 says, then they went out to see what had happened and came to Jesus and found the man from the demons had departed, sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed in his right mind, and they were afraid. Verse 36 says, they also had seen it and told by what means he who had been demon-possessed and was healed. Verse 37, then the whole multitude of the surrounding region of the Gadarenes asked Jesus to depart from them, for they were seized with great fear, and he got into the boat and returned. They told Jesus, we don't want you here. We want you to depart from us. That's the natural man. Natural man doesn't want Jesus. They want Jesus to be away. Depart from Jesus. And that is exactly what is happening in our country today, because they don't want the word of God. They want God to lead so they can control. They love their sins. They love their darkness. They don't want God. They want God to be departed. Here is a good example of that. Now, the gospel is an invitation to all, everybody. It's been addressed. It's an invitation. There's a universal call of the gospel to every person. But in John chapter 6, verse 44, Jesus said, John 6:44, no one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up at the last day. Here, salvation is by God alone. God is the one who does the work for a man to be saved. God is the one who draws the man who is lost to him. So salvation is of grace, but it's not by the power of man's free will. Romans chapter 9, verse 16. Romans 9:16. It is not of him who wills, nor of him who runs, but of God who shows mercy. So it's not by the will of God, it is by God who shows him mercy. It is not man's will, but salvation is from the will of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing the gospel. God is the one who opens the mind. God is the one that the blinded mind, God can open that blinded mind. The God can give a new heart, take that old heart away, so the person can understand the gospel. James chapter 1 verse 18 says, James 1:18, all He brought us forth by the word of the truth. So it is not by our will, it is by the will of God. It is God's will that we are saved, not by our will. Of His own will He brought us forth by the word of the truth, that we might be a kind of first fruit of His creatures. Now I want to show you in Scripture that salvation is of God from very, very briefly, from the beginning to the very end. God is the author, the beginner, and the end, or the finisher of our faith. Let me show you very briefly in Scriptures. We saw in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1 and 5, we saw if God is the one who regenerates the dead, spiritually dead man. So regeneration, first comes regeneration. First comes the new birth. Alright? Also, Acts chapter 16, verse 14. Acts 16, 14. A certain woman named Lydia heard us. She was a seller of purple from the city of Thyatira who worshipped God. The Lord opened her heart to heed the things that were spoken by Paul. God opened the heart of Lydia. She was a woman who worshipped God, but she did not know Jesus. A lot of people who will worship God, but it is not through Jesus Christ, unless God opened her heart so she was able to understand. Now, when you are regenerated, your mind is opened by God, then you trust in Jesus and you repent of your sins. 2 Corinthians chapter 7 verse 10 says, for godly sorrow work repentance. That means an ungodly man cannot repent, because it's by God, only godly sorrow that works repentance. It is God that grants repentance and faith. God is the one, I told you, faith is a gift, right? So it is God who grants repentance and faith to the regenerated man. Once you are regenerated, God grants you to believe in Him, trust in Him, and also to repent. Now, let's see some scriptures. Acts chapter 11, verse 18. When they heard these things, they became silent and they glorified God, saying, then God has also granted to the Gentiles repentance. God granted the Gentiles to repent. Wow. Amazing scripture, isn't it? And also, 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 25. 2 Timothy 2:25. Humility, correcting those who are in opposition, if God perhaps will grant them repentance so they may know the truth. See that? So God, perhaps, if God will grant them repentance, so they will know the truth. So, we don't know. Only God can do that. Even Apostle Paul did not know who were the elect or not. And also, Philippians chapter 1, 29. Philippians 1, 29. It has been granted on behalf of Christ, not only to believe in Him, but also to suffer for thy sake. So it has been granted in Christ Jesus for us to believe. And also Acts 13:48. Now when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad and glorified the word of the Lord. As many as had been appointed to eternal life believed. So here we see repentance is a gift of God, as much as faith, saving faith, is a gift of God. Now, both faith and repentance bore the positive turning to Christ. For by grace we have been saved through faith. That means it is a positive thing, turning to Christ, and a negative thing, turning from sin. So turning to Christ and turning from sin. You understand? Give me one scripture that tells both in the Bible. One scripture that tells you both. An example type of a scripture. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 verse 9. They themselves declare concerning us what manner of entry we had to you and how you turn to God. See that? You are turning to God, and from what? From idols to serve the living and true God. From sin to God. It's a positive thing. And a negative turning. It's a positive turning to God, to Christ, and a negative turning from sin. One scripture. See both. So here, the two graces of faith, that is, faith and repentance together constitute real divine conversion. Now, as I said, saving faith is a gift of God. Of all the gifts thine hand bestows, thou giver of all good, not heaven itself a richer knows than my Redeemer's blood, faith too, the blood receiving grace from the same hand we gain. Else sweetly as it suits our case, the gift had been in vain. 2 Timothy chapter 1 verse 9 says, 2 Timothy 1:9, saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace which was given to us in Christ Jesus before time began. As I had to take a lot of time, by grace you have been saved through faith because of the false teachings. We got to do the repair work here. It takes time to do repair. Of course, many of us here, we know those scriptures. And from the beginning to the end, it's of God. Ephesians 1:4 says, according to he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, he chose us in him that we should be holy and blameless. And 2 Timothy 1:9 says that grace was given to us before the world began. So it's from the very beginning, before we were even born. But the elect, when we were born sinners. But God has chosen us, but yet we were born sinners. We did not receive salvation when we were born, as soon as we were born. No, we still had that inherited sin in us. The fallen nature was there. But in God's appointed time, he opened our hearts from the gospel, the power of the gospel. When he heard it, he opened our heart, minds, and gave us a new heart. Now we repent and we come to him by faith. It is all by the grace of God. Yet many prominent evangelists and teachers have turned the gospel of grace into a gospel of works. Of course, their churches are packed with a fleshly gospel that brings much feelings and pride, but does not profit the soul. Let me ask you a question now. When the Christian is ready to die, the godly Christians cannot say, I'm just about to die, and I was saved, I'm glad that I was saved because of my decision. I'm glad that I was saved because of my righteousness, because of my faith, because of my repentance, because of my merit, because of my works. But all the glory goes to God. As the man who wrote Amazing Grace, John Newton, at the age of 82, John Newton said, "My memory is nearly gone, but I remember two things, that I am a great sinner, but Christ is a great Savior." Now the conclusion is that God does not save sinners by works. God does not save sinners by works. Adam was given a commandment, and obedience was required. Adam failed. The human works failed. So all the glory goes to God, because only by grace you can be saved. Faith is only the channel by which the grace comes to us. It is not of yourself, it is but the gift of God. It is not grace plus works, but grace alone. We are saved from the wrath of God, from the domain of sin. How are we saved from these things? Through Christ and in Christ alone. Augustus Toplady was only 38 years when he died. On the day, that is August 11, 1778. But his short lifespan was enough to produce one of the most beloved hymns, the Rock of Ages, when he said, "Nothing in my hands I bring, simply to the cross I cling. Naked come to thee for dress, helpless look to thee for grace. Foul I to the fountain fly, wash me, Savior, or I'll die." And Augustus Toplady said the following in one of his sermons: "And thus it will be when God has accomplished the number of his elect and completely gathered in the fullness of his redeemed kingdom, what do you think your song will be when you come to heaven?" That means when God has completed all the elect, what do you think your song will be? Is it going to be that, "Oh, praise the Lord that I came here by my good works that I'm saved"? Or is it the praise to yourself saying, "By my own free will that I came to heaven"? Or, "By my own goodness, by my merit, what I had done, I was able to come to heaven. That I struggled so many times and so forth like that, I'm glad that I came." Many people are doing that. If you ask a man on the street, "Do you think you are saved?" Many will say yes. Ask them why. "I'm good. Not that bad." But Augustus Toplady said, he went on to say, "What do you think your song will be when you come to heaven? Blessed be God that He gave me free will. And blessed be my own dear self that made a good use of it." Oh no, such a song heaven will not want to hear, of whatever your good works are, whatever your free will is. Of course not. While God is God, heaven is heaven. In the book of Revelation, it says, Revelation 9:10, "Thou art worthy, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation." God is to be praised. God is worthy. He is being praised. because out of His, because of His Son that redeemed us out of every nation, tongue, and tribe, because what God did on earth. Because of God's grace, sending His Son, Jesus Christ, to die on our behalf. So all the grace and the glory goes to God. Now, I don't know why people have such a difficult time to understand. There's so much against this teaching, and so many people say, no, you know, I got to do, it's my will. You know, it's I. And how many people, when they see, they know by grace you have been saved through faith. And it is not of yourself, it is the gift of God. But still, look at the ministries. Look at what people do and say, well, they usually say, you know, I did this to the Lord, I did that to the Lord, I was, you know, I was witnessing to so many people, and all the people are hearing, and you know, I opened the Bible, and did this and that, always talking, I did this, I did that, I did this, and I did all these things, and I gave a sermon, and everything is centered on man. When everything is centered on man, where's the grace? Where's the grace of God? You know, by grace that I am, Apostle Paul said. You know, we are alive here because of the grace of God. So we see a man-centered teaching. When there's a man-centered teaching, all the glory also goes to man. And they see how spiritual they are, how great they are, and how other people... I look so sorry for those people down there. But me, I'm good. Even you can say, I read my Bible all the time, I pray all the time, I witness to people, you know. I do all these things. But they miss the grace of God. Wow. All the glory goes to God. Psalm chapter 115, 1. As we read that psalm, it says, not unto us, O Lord, not unto us, but unto thy name give glory for thy mercy and for thy truth's sake. I wonder, when some people go to heaven, how much credit they can get because of, you know, I came to heaven. What kind of credit can you get by going to heaven? You know, say, absolutely not. How much? So is it right to say that, okay, to tell somebody on the street, okay, repeat this prayer and you will be saved. Is there anywhere to say that repeating a prayer, a man can get salvation by repeating a prayer? If that is the case, wow, what kind of magic world is that? By repeating a prayer, you are saved. It doesn't say that. You are saved by what? Hearing the gospel. And still, you're saved hearing the gospel. Some people will not get saved unless Lord opens a heart. It is by grace alone, God's grace alone, that a man is saved. And God gives that grace to equal to everybody? No. God gives it according to whom He wishes to give. Why is it that one receives that grace and is saved, but the other doesn't? Is it because, how can you come to a conclusion and say, I God the answer. Can you find an answer? Because God is sovereign. God alone gets the glory. He saves whom He wishes to save. So, Ephesians 2, 8 and 9 at the end says, no boasting. Absolutely no boasting. That I cannot boast of anything what I did. Alright. Then what about, it's testimony time. Who wants to give your testimony? Comes people forward. Oh, you know. I was so, I did this, I did that, I did this. And, you know, when I accept Christ and you see even all the testimony goes to man, gets a lot of glory. And at the end, they will say, wow, this man has a tremendous testimony. Yes, I do. Let's make a movie. And, you know, then somebody might say, well, I don't have any testimony. I was just a sinner. I was just, you know, lost. But of course, we see people like John Bunyan. We see people like John Newton. And when we see their testimony, man, all the glory goes to God and shows it is by God's grace alone that they were saved. All the glory and boasting goes not to us in the testimony. John the Baptist. I think I said this before. John the Baptist, you know, when he was with his disciples baptizing, and some of the disciples came and told John the Baptist, no, John, all your people are going to Jesus now. They're all, you know, deserted. You have been deserted and they're all going to Jesus. John the Baptist said, oh, I'm glad that they're going to Jesus. That's my mission, right? That He will increase, that I may decrease. Wow. No boasting. All the glory goes to God. All the glory goes to God. So the whole issue of salvation, the whole gospel, the gospel is called the gospel of grace. It is called the gospel of grace. Whole salvation is of God alone and for God's glory. Jonah is a good example. You know, there's no way that Jonah could save those people on his own. Nineveh was a wicked, terrible, wicked city. But Noah wanted to commit suicide instead of going to Nineveh. I don't want to go to Nineveh. I'd rather commit suicide. But he tried. Couldn't do it. Because it was God's will to save those people. Jonah realized, wow, I can't believe it. Salvation is of the Lord. So here we see, it's very important study is that we are saved by grace alone. That's why we need to have a lot of discernment these days. A lot of discernment, because there is so much false teachings going around. We need to be very careful. And I pray that we will stay on the course, not going to the left nor to the right. There is a, just because of, if somebody say, then if everything is of God, then it's man, it's like a robot? Of course not. Man, you know, we are given a life, we are given, man has a will, but man doesn't have a will, fallen man doesn't have a will to accept to the spiritual things of God, but still, God has planned and decreed everything. And here we do have a responsibility, for all men are accountable, and everybody is responsible towards God. And that means when the gospel says that it's a commandment for us to go and preach the gospel, it is a commandment of God, and the ends are met by the means that's through God's word and through us. God uses us as instruments to meet that end. So God works. It's the work of God from the beginning to the end. God gets the glory. Let's pray. Father, we praise you. We thank you, Lord, for the work that you have done, Lord. Before the foundation of the world, grace was given to us, Lord. And if we can understand that without a shadow of a doubt, we know in this life, grace, that we are saved by grace alone. And Lord, we know, Lord, that it is only through the works of Christ, His works alone, that we are righteous before you. And Father, how we thank you, Lord, for what? For this plan that you have planned before the foundation of the world, that we couldn't even understand it. But now, through scriptures, you have revealed this to us. And once we understand and see this picture, oh Lord, how much happy we are. How much excited we are. Father, we ask, Lord, that you will give us a greater desire to serve you, Lord, once we know these precious truths. That we would be excited, and that we would, that you have shown us some things that are so many cannot see, but you have shown it to us for a few of those who are elect of God. Father, we are so thankful for that, Lord. We ask, Lord, that we would have a greater desire to serve you and to follow you and to worship you. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand and sing this song.